This evening, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. And once again, Solomon talking to his son. Now, what he's going to do tonight, he's going to give parental instruction in chapter 6 again. And of course, as parents, we have to love our children, right? And if we love our children, then it has to be to the point where we are helping them through their problems and also not demeaning them or putting them down to the place where they become discouraged and they get their counsel from somebody else. That happens a lot in the church and outside of the church. Just looking at life, life is very hard to live without Christ. And as believers, even though we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, yet life becomes many times very hard to live. That's why it's really important for us as believers to make sure that we are spending time in the book, in the Word of God. Because as you read through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, what's going to happen? You're not only going to learn the books of the Bible, but you're going to learn the stories of the Bible that will help you and enhance your knowledge and wisdom on how to deal with situations and problems in your own personal life. Very easy to read in 1 year through the whole Bible. They have that 1 year Bible. Or you can discipline yourself with your own Bible to read through a whole year. And if you go through it in 6 months, then read it again another time. That's two times in 1 year. And by the time you get to be older, think of how many times you already have read through the Word of God. And every time you read, and something you don't understand, you keep going, the next time you come around, I guarantee you God will speak to you. Because the Holy Spirit has been given to each one of us individually to assist us to do what? To read the Word of God so that God can speak to me. I never hear an audible voice. I always hear that small, still voice when I read the Word of God. All the time. When I leave every single morning my house at 4:30 in the morning, I go down to the beach to surf. Because they open the gate at 6 o'clock in the morning. By the time I get to 6 o'clock, I already have gone to McDonald's, got my oatmeal. That's right. And then I sit down and I do my devotions. I'm going through the Bible reading. And then I read my devotional. And by the time they open the gate, I've already all done that, and there's time also to pray. And I think it's important because I want to pray for you, and I want you to pray for me. Pray for this church. Pray for the body of Christ. Why? Because we're commanded to pray for one another. And then at the same time, if we're going to pray, then how important is it for me to know what God is saying to Moses, or to Paul, or to Peter, or to James, or John? Or to one of the kings, or one of the prophets. And as we're going through the Bible, you make sure that on the Psalms, when you read the Psalms, 150 Psalms, you can read those at nighttime before you go to bed, take one Psalm, or two Psalms, whatever. And they'll give you comfort at night to not only listen to what God is saying through the Word of God. And in the morning, there's 31 Proverbs in 31 days, one proverb a day. You'll blow your mind how much wisdom God will give you through Solomon writing to us. So the Word of God is important in the life of the people, especially you mothers and fathers, so important for you to know God's Word. So when your children have problems, situations, you can sit down, open the Word of God, and give them a little Bible lesson. Okay? A little Bible lesson, not for an hour, just a few minutes. And they'll love that. And I think that will make a difference in your home and make a difference with your children. And then one day when they get older and they depart from the home, guess what they're going to do? They're going to mimic what you have taught them to do, to open the Word of God and to pray and to give wise counsel to the Word of God. And Solomon was a type of person when he was young. He would sit down with his children and give them counsel. And I think it's important that when we read the Proverbs, we understand that we do need the wisdom of God in our own personal lives every single day of our lives. Every single day. So now what Solomon does is he spoke to us in chapter 5, 6, and 7. All three are very important. Because last week we left off speaking about the evil woman. We'll come again in a moment. But what he does now in chapter 6 of Proverbs, he starts out in chapter 6 in giving a warning against guaranteeing payment of another person's loan, co-signing for people. This could be a big problem. Why? You'll get stuck with the bill. Some of you, it might already happen to you. It's really important that you use wisdom in co-signing for people. Solomon is going to give us a real heavy instruction here. He's talking to his son as a father. He's letting him know, be sure, my son, not to sign for anybody. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck with the bill and you're not too smart. He's going to start off by telling him that. Notice how he begins the Proverb chapter 6, verse 1. He gives good fatherly exhortation here. He says, my son, if you become liable for your friend, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. Notice that. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. For you have come into the hand of your friend, and go and humble yourself and plead with your friend. And notice what he says, and give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyes, and deliver yourself from a gazelle, from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hands of the fowler. So here is a father giving instruction to his son. He's saying, son, don't co-sign for anybody, because you can get stuck with the what? The finances. And it can really mess you up. It's amazing how people become not only gullible to this situation, but because you like somebody or somebody's talking to you nice, and then they'll say, hey, by the way, you know, he's your neighbor, whatever he is. He says, hey, by the way, I need a co-signer for my car or my house or this or that. Would you mind signing for me? And you don't even pray about it. You just, because he's a nice person, he said, well, bring me the contract and I'll sign it. You know, and then all of a sudden you find out that he hasn't been making his payments. And that the bank is not collecting. But now, because you co-signed, they can't get it from that person. So they're going to come after you now. And they're going to come after your house. And they're going to come after your checking. And the reason is because you didn't listen to God's word, what he says in his word. And so here is a father speaking and instructing his own son concerning these deals that people talk you into about getting and signing a piece of paper that you should have never really signed, because they're going to make you pay if they skip town or if they don't want to pay anymore or they don't have any money. So he says again in verse 2, you are snared. Notice, you're in a trap. Notice what he says. You are now in a trap by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your own mouth. Notice, by giving security for another's payment, you put yourself in the same danger and even greater danger. Why? Because they'll come after you. And then he says, so do this, my son, and deliver yourself. So the best thing you to do is to get yourself a release from the agreement. A release from an agreement so you're not liable to make the payment. To make sure you use that kind of wisdom. Protecting yourself, protecting your home, protecting your family. Because you don't know how people can turn, you know, when they're down, and maybe they'll even turn against you and put the blame on you and not be a nice person, but they can become evil and very cutthroat to try to get you for you to pay their debt. So he's given great counsel here. Then he says this, give no sleep to your eyes nor slumber to your eyelids. So notice here that the matter is of such importance here that at night you can't even sleep. You can't even sleep because you're worried about it. Somebody's going to come and knock on my door because my neighbor's not paying his loan. He's already come and talked to me. And I know that the next thing that will happen, there'll be a collective agency coming. They're going to knock on my door and they're going to say, now you got to pay. So you're losing sleep over it. And then he says in verse 5, deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of a fowler. So again, here he's giving his son this great counsel that his son one day will need. And then he says this, go to the end, you sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise. So now he comes in and he's going to give us now another topic. And now he's going to talk to us about people that don't like to work. People that are lazy. And they mooch off other people. Pretty heavy how Proverbs speaks of a lot of issues. And I think it's important even today because you actually see people on corners off the freeways in different places where they have a little can and they're always asking for money. Some are legitimate, but some are con artists. There's people that are really in need. But then how about those that are living with you and they're of age and yet they're not working, but they're living off of you? A son, a daughter, or some relative, or some friend that is taking advantage of you and they're lazy. And they sleep in late and they don't even care if they get up or not. And then they always have an excuse why they're not working. And yet, you know what Solomon says? Go outside in summertime and go look at those little black ants. You can learn from them. They'll educate you that they're not lazy. All summer long, they're in my house, man. And they're not lazy. And they're, what they're doing, they're preparing for winter. Preparing for winter. And if they're so smart, I mean, I thought about, can you imagine the brain of an ant? Amazing how God just, I mean, it blows me away. I mean, if you ever seen when they're walking out, they kind of hit each other, like they're talking to each other, and then they pass each other up. And they're carrying this little thing, you know, and they're just kind of doing their business. And it's amazing to me that when you watch them and you study them, and I've even picked them up in my hand, and they're so tiny, you know, and they're kind of moving around, and they want to continue. It's like they're passing the message on and on to everybody. But think how hard they work, and then when sundown comes, they're gone. They go back into their nest. But as soon as the sun comes up, man, they're there again. They come right back. So Solomon gives us here, because he knew about biology, he knew all these things about, you know, the animal kingdom. He says this, that go to the end, you sluggard, consider her ways and be what? Be wise. Learn from them. Check this out, the warning against idleness. He says, which having no captain, the ant, overseer or ruler, notice he does have mom and dad there, or your boss there, has nobody, they're very responsible individually. I like that. Very responsible individually. Hey, when I was a kid, my parents were not Christians. My parents were very hardworking people. Very hardworking people. Yes, my dad had an alcohol problem and a violent problem. But they never, ever missed work. And they always provided for them. We didn't have a lot. But they gave me the model of hard work. And always, they would never let me sleep in. I was always up early in the morning. I was either cutting lawns or riding my bike and distributing newspapers. Or I would get a job working in a corner to sell newspapers. And later on, I went and became a box boy and got into the grocery business. But I never, ever was without a job, ever. I played sports. I played baseball. I mean, there was always something to do. And whenever we didn't have money, all of us, on the weekends, on Saturdays, instead of doing anything, we'd go out and wash cars or cut lawns. That's what we did, to make $5 or whatever we made. Because our parents could not afford to give us money. And in the past 20 years, think how America has enjoyed their freedom of prosperity. Look around today to what's happening to America. And the reason is because I really believe this, that we have been wasteful in what God's given to us. And God is demonstrating through that, that he is going to chasten us. I really believe it with all my heart. It's not going to be like in past years, things are going to change drastically. Because we're living in the last days. Jesus is coming. China is rising to a higher point. America is going down the tubes. And I think it's really important where we used to be the number one nation in the world, they would always, like Israel, remember Sunday morning, Israel would lend and never have to borrow. Now we can borrow because we owe so much. Something is wrong. We didn't learn from our past. We're in deep financial problems. And so we're going to see more lazy people. More lazy people. So we can learn a lot from the ant. That they're hard workers and provide for their needs, not only for that day and the next day, but for winter until summer comes again. And I really believe with all my heart as I was reading the proverb this morning and this whole week, that I think it's important that if the ant is not a sluggard, then those of you that have not only children that are not children no longer, they're of age and they're living off of you, I think maybe it might be time to have a talk with them and really, really a good talk and say, you know what? I can't support you anymore. You got to go get a job. That's the way it is. When I was in high school, I had a job. I had a job. I had to get a job. I couldn't get no money. And I played sports. My parents couldn't buy things for me. So I think today, because of what's happened in the past, and we had a time of prosperity, and now we're going backwards, and money's not as easy as it was before at one time, that it's important that as parents, we teach our children, especially if you're a young parent, you have little children, you got to start now teaching them responsibility and the importance of not being lazy and teaching them how to work in the home and help out in the home. Because a lot of times fathers don't teach their sons to do what they have to do. They don't see the example in the father or in the mother. So what happens? They copy the same mannerisms and they do the same thing. So here Solomon is really concerned with his son and he's talking about lazy people. And he brings the ant into the picture. He says in verse 7, he says, which having no captain, the ant, overseer or ruler, he says what? Provides her supplies in the summer. Notice that. The little creature diligently, industrially works very hard to provide for himself. And he's just a little, tiny little thing. And provides for the whole winter. And gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slugger be a slugger? How long will you be lazy? Notice what he's saying here. How long are you going to stay lazy and be lazy? When are you going to get up and become a hard worker and have integrity? You know, I've had husbands, I have had wives come in here and counsel with us. Her husband is always sick or has an injury and doesn't really want to go to work. That's not right. That the wife is working while the husband's sitting at home? No possible way. That's not right. It should be the other way around. The husband should be working and the wife should be staying home to take care of her children, to take care of the home. And it's really important for me as a pastor, teacher, and as a father and a grandfather to teach my children by example and my grandbabies by example for the future, because if we don't, we're going to be in deep trouble. And the best way is the Proverbs and what is bringing out even tonight to each one of us individually. And the philosophy that people have is, you know, it's a nice morning this morning. I don't want to get up early. I'm tired. I'm just going to go to sleep. And they go to sleep. And remember when me and my wife were young, we had our children. When they became teenagers and we noticed that not only them but their friends, they always like to sleep in late. Oh, that's still happening today, believe me. I know some of your parents are laughing because that's what's happening. And it's amazing how parents don't want to teach your children that if you stay out late, that's not my problem, that's your problem. You see? Because what you're doing is you're allowing them to become sluggards. Lazy. And if you don't give them responsibility in the home, and that they don't help in the home their parents, then something is wrong. Then there's chaos in the home. So Solomon wants to instruct his son to not only be lazy, but to make sure that he's responsible and that he's going to be able to help and to be industrious in whatever he does. Look what he says again. He says, how long will you slumber, and when will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Notice that. And then your poverty will come. Wow. You'll never get anywhere. Never, ever get anywhere. I hear this all the time, you know. People that say, well, you know, I grew up in the ghetto. And once you're in the ghetto, you can't get out of the ghetto. You can get out of the ghetto. Believe me. That's a bunch of lies. You can get educated. This is a free country. You can get educated. You can do whatever you want to do. It's a free industry. The problem is people don't have the vision and the passion to do it. And to really say, you know what? I'm going to get out and I'm going to do this because I have a vision where I want to be and what I want to do. Not just now, but where am I going to be 5 years from now or 10 years or 15 years from now? How am I going to be able to support my family? How am I going to retire? And what have I put away to be a good steward of what I've been earning and what God has given to me? But I know one thing that I've learned, that if you do not give to God what belongs to God, guess what's going to happen? Your barns are going to be empty when time comes. You're not going to have nothing. Remember Haggai? In the book of Haggai, the prophet, when they came back from captivity to build Jerusalem, and they were supposed to build the house of God, but they neglected it, they would go out to the fields and they would start harvesting and really, really harvest and bring the fruit forward, and they were making money, and they would come home and take their money, and they made a hole in the ground, and they got a bag, and they would hide their money. And God says, as you're putting away into that bag, in that hole, I'm at the bottom taking it out. The more you put in, the more I'll take out. And the reason is because you've neglected to give to my house to be rebuilt. God said that. And God cursed them until they repented. And I think how God gives us opportunity after opportunity, but what happens is we do not live our lives under our means. We always want to keep in competition with the neighbors. That should never be so. We should never do that. You've got to live where your means are. And I think it's important that the proverb gives us great insight, because a sluggard doesn't do that, as he says here. He says, the only reason you're in poverty is because, notice, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your knee like an armed man. And the reason is because you're lazy, you never took the time, you don't have the vision or the passion or the goal to go out and get a job and work. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. And I think this is something that in this generation has to be proclaimed more than ever before. You know why? Because we're coming from an era where we had everything and parents gave everything to their children. And now you can't. And you won't in the future. And people need to learn responsibility. How am I going to survive? How am I going to do this? And I have learned in my own personal life that by never ripping off God, that God has never, ever let us down in our home. Never. It doesn't matter what it is. He's made that promise in the Word of God. That if you truly, truly want God's blessing upon your life, I'm not saying he's going to give you $1 million or $2 million. But he says, even like the birds of the sky, that he takes care of them and he feeds them. How much more will he take care of you? When he says what in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. God has to be number one. In everything that I do for God. Everything. And I think that young people today, like our kids, we taught them when they went to Sunday school, we gave them money to give in their Sunday school, teaching them while they're young. Today, all my kids, they pay their tithe to the Lord. We taught them that. We taught them that. If you don't teach your children, and if you don't do it yourself, how can you teach them to give to God what belongs to God? You see? And so it's really important for you parents to teach your children, but you be the example. They got to see it in you. That you're being faithful to what God's given to you as a steward, as a house manager. But if they see you that you're not a good house manager, then they're going to be just like you because they don't have a good example in their own homes. And that's what Solomon will do in the Proverbs. He will teach his children all these things that we're talking about tonight. And then he goes on. Check this out. Verse 12 to 19. Now he comes to this, to another subject. He's just teaching his son. And now the warning here is against discord, against people. He says this in verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. So here he goes around speaking falsehood with his lips. Has nothing good to say. The evil man, always putting down. He says, check this out. He says, he winks with his eye. What does winking mean? Winking means it's like you're lying. You know, I'm not, it's not for real. Really, you just wink at somebody. Okay? And then he says what? He shuffles his feet. He's sitting down. He's real nervous. He's kind of shuffle his feet. And then he points with his fingers. He's giving you the signs of this foolish man. Perversity in his heart, he devises evil continually. And notice, he sows discord. He sows discord. He's not a peacemaker, but he's always making trouble. There's no peace. No peace. And here, what Solomon is doing, what is he doing? He's exposing this person, the foolish man. The one that is not at peace with God or himself or anybody else. But he's always making trouble and he's lying and he's cheating and he's doing all these things to his victim. And then he says, notice his doom. Therefore, because of this, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Notice that. There's no warning. God comes and just boom. He gets it fully, completely. Then, verse 16, this is not for all of us here. Notice here he's going to be speaking about sin and that sin displeases God. These are the things that displease God. Seven, but six, he says. He says, six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Now, I found interesting the word abomination because it's used all over the Bible. The word abomination is found 100 times in the Old Testament. 100 times. It refers to things that are mostly repulsive, that God hates. And in the Old Testament, it is used to refer to idolatry. In 1 Kings 21, it's used of homosexuality. Leviticus 18:22, of human sacrifices in Deuteronomy 12:31, and of occult practices in Deuteronomy 18:9-12. So the word here that is used of abomination, it's a word that God hates. God hates it. And he's going to be talking to us things that God hates. Check this out. Number one, he hates a proud look. A proud look. Those that are proudful. And when they look at you, they're like, who do you think you are? You know, that's what he says. And you know what literally in the Hebrew, what it says here, a proud look, he talks about having haughty eyes. They're piercing eyes when they look at you like, who do you think you are? And then, how about this one? We're all guilty of this, a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Not speaking truth. We've all done it. We're all guilty of it. And I think that it's really important that when you do lie, retract yourself and go back and make things right before you and that person and God. Because if a parent lies all the time and his children see that he's always lying, they're going to be liars too. They're not going to trust you or believe you. Our people, When they find that you're a liar, who's going to trust you? You had friends like that. Oh, he's always lying. Don't believe him. You know? He's just blowing smoke. Don't worry. You know, don't do that. And then what does he say? A proud look, a lying tongue. How about this? Hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that are violent. Hands that are violent. And then a heart that devises wicked plans. Notice this. A heart that is scheming. This is in reference to the mind that plans the evil in their hearts. But their feet, they are eager to immediately go and get in trouble. Again, a heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. Man, they don't waste no time. They are there immediately. They don't wait for it. And then he says this, a false witness who speaks lies. How many people have gone to court and lied? Look what he says here. He's talking about a matter of public testimony in court. To stand before a judge, swear in the Bible, and then take the stand and then lie about what you're asked to do. People do that all the time. How much more when you put your hand, and you know what? That's why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, don't put your hand on the Bible. Let your yes be yes and your no's be no's. You don't really have to do that. I swear by God, you don't have to do that. A handshake should be good enough if really, truly believe in God and we're Christians. But the reason we sign contracts is because people don't trust you. That's why. You see? They don't trust you. And then on the other side, those that make you sign the contract, think of how many of those are using falsehood to get you entrapped to make payments and then to take all your money from you. If you're a business guy here, you know, businessman, selling cars, and you can cheat people selling cars, not giving the right price so you can make more money, or whatever it may be. This happens all the time. And here God says it should not be. If you're a child of God, you should be honest in business and whatever you do. And then he goes on to say this. He says, not only a false witness who speaks lies, but how about this? One who sows discord among Christians. What? A division maker in the body of Christ. One that is dividing the body of Jesus Christ. And doesn't really want to stand for truth. Doesn't really care about people. But he wants to divide the body of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. That's horrible when that happens. Think of how many friendships have been broken up because of division makers that lie when they're making that division. Because maybe you like somebody else and they're more friendly to the other person, so you get jealous. So what do? You cause division. And you start lying. And you start doing all kinds of weird things to get that relationship broken up fully and completely. So these are the things that God hates, doesn't like. He hates them. So it needs what? Transformation. It needs to be changed. Because one day we're going to stand before God. See, a lot of times people say, you know, we say little words. You should read Matthew chapter, I think it's chapter 18, where he says that every idle word that you speak, God will judge one day. Every idle word. You know, messing around, oh, you jerk, oh, be careful, stupid, all those things. God says one day, for every idle word, you're going to be judged. When I read that the first time, I go, wow, man, you know, that's pretty heavy. Because, you know, we like to mess around. You know, and at the same time, we're messing around. Okay, but if you're really sincere and you're mad at somebody and you go, you jerk, I mean, what are you saying, you know? Or you use cuss words, you know? And you say mean things at a person, then one day when you stand before God, you know, you're going to hear what you said. God says he's going to judge you. So the mouth is very dangerous. That's why he gave us the book of James chapter 3. About the mouth is like a fire that speaks out. Can you believe if God were to give us two tongues, oh man, or two mouths? That would be, for women, it would be hard too. Men too, because there's guys, a lot of guys that talk a lot too. You know, but I mean, thank God for one mouth and two ears. But then he goes on now, and we come back to the issue of last week, and here it is again. He is so pressed to speak to us about this issue with adultery, fornication, and young people being in sexual sin. He's really concerned about it. God's real concerned about that. If in the book of Corinthians, chapter 3 and 6, Paul the apostle writes to the church of Corinthians, and he talks to them because they're having issues with lawsuits, they're having issues with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're having issues in the church because that guy's living in the church with his mother-in-law. And then there are homosexuals and lesbians, and there's fornicators and liars and all these people. And then in the Proverbs, he comes now and he says, you guys, be careful of the whorish woman. But it's not really all women, because there are also men that are the problem. So it goes both ways. But here he's going to be dealing again with the warning of adultery in the life of a person. A life of a person that has a real problem with adulterous women. He's warning the youth to avoid it. Avoid that kind of a woman. Don't even walk down her street. And then he exhorts the young men to walk according to instruction that is given to them by their parents and by God. As your parents are teaching you God's word, listen to your parents. That's one thing that, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I always said, my parents, they don't know nothing. You know, I know everything. Sure I did. I mean, I got myself in so much trouble. You know, and I paid for it too. When I got home, my dad gave it to me, man. And it's really important that we understand that if we're going to be parents through the love of Christ and we love our children, remember Hebrews chapter 12? If you're a real father, what do? When your son does something wrong, you spank him, you correct him, you discipline him. If not, what are you? Then you're not a good what? You're not a good parent. He's not your son. He's not your daughter. He's a bastard, the Bible says. So as parents, we really need to care for our children, especially when they're young. And even you say, well, when they grow up, they'll go and do their own. Even when they grow up, you never stop worrying about your children. They're your kids. You love them. You want the best for them. But at the same time, you don't suffocate them. You give them the freedom. They're grown up now. They're out of your home. They're adults. And then a lot of times, parents like to control their children. You can't do that. They'll disown you. They'll push you as far as they can from you. You need to be careful how you treat your children. But here now Solomon is going to give us insight. Verse 20, look what he says. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. So it's not only dads, moms too. There's a lot of godly mothers, man. It's so cool. I thank God for my wife, for my children, the way she took care of my boys. And then her mom, and then her mother's mom, Grandma Kopp. You know, and then my mom in her old age and my dad coming to know the Lord and watching what God can do in the life of a person when they come to Christ. Especially sitting in a teaching ministry where the word of God is being given to us every single week. Too much is given, much more will be required. If we don't take the Proverbs on Wednesday night and begin to apply them in our lives as parents and children, then what are God's going to do? He's going to spank us. Too much is given, much more is required. We're here to learn and to put application to work. That's why we're listening to the Proverbs. And we go through the whole Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, so that we can see what God has to say. Then he says this, verse 21, bind them continually upon your heart and tie them around your neck. You ever see the Jews on the airplanes? If you've been to Israel with us, remember the little cap they wear? And then they take the phylacteries and they wrap them seven times around their arm and they put them to their hearts. And then they got the phylactery on their forehead, the three scriptures. And then they got the prayer book and they're praying back and forth. That's when he's talking about binding them. He's talking about the phylactery and the cord that goes around their arm and the phylactery with the love of God in their foreheads. Look what he says. Bind them, continue upon your heart. That's where they got that. The Orthodox Jews got it from the scripture here, which they made it a law for themselves. God never gave that. They made it up and they use it today. He says, and tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. And when you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. Notice the importance of God's word here. It will give you guidance. It will give you protection. And it will give you instruction. The Word of God. Protection. Guidance. Instruction. When you're awake and when you're sleeping. I love going to bed with the Word of God in my heart, reading a psalm or reading a chapter in Matthew, wherever it may be. And knowing that I'm going to bed with the Word of God. And honestly, before God, I don't have any nightmares. I used to have about the war all the time. And you know what? In years past, when I started reading my Bible at nighttime, man, God just cleansed my mind and now I sleep like a baby, man. Because it's God's Word. And when I wake up in the morning, what happens? I'm back in the Word of God. The Word of God is so important for each one of us, whether we're old or young, it doesn't matter. Make it a system in your life. Make it mandatory every day, never to miss a day in reading and feeding upon God's Word. If they took the Word of God in their forehead to remind them of God, and close to the heart of God, put the Word of God, imagine how much we can learn today. When we truly memorize Scripture, quote Scripture, and we're going book by book, chapter by chapter to the Bible, imagine when you get older, if you're young, the knowledge and the wisdom you're going to be able to have to give to your own children because of God's Word. And at the same time, learning that the Word of God will protect you. Watch what he says, verse 22. And when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you wake, they will speak with you. And then he says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Number one, notice, for the commandment is a lamp. What's that? Guidance in my life. As I'm walking along, not in darkness, with the light, leading my path. Secondly, a law, notice, the law a light, that speaks for protection in my life. Protection. And thirdly, notice, teaching, reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The Word of God tells me what's good and what's evil, what's right and what's wrong. Obedience and disobedience to what I have to do. It says, now here's where the Word of God is important. To keep you from the evil woman. Wow. To keep you from the evil woman. Why? Because the Bible teaches you about the evil woman. What happens? From her flattering tongue of a seductress. The way she talks to you to seduce you. She knows exactly what to say to men. They listen. Seriously. It's crazy. But it's amazing that men are really dumb and they fall for it. No matter how much you talk to men. You know what? I was there. I know about that. And when you're young, you're even more stupid. You know, because, I mean, you just really don't know. But when you're older and you continue to be stupid, something is wrong. Seriously. You need to get hit in the head a couple times. But think about what he's saying here. Because think of how many husbands, being married, not 1 year, being married 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and they commit adultery in their wives. And they go with a whorish woman. Or young men. They see these prostitutes down the street and they stop to give, you know, to give whatever they're going to do and then pay for it. And what's amazing is that sometimes those are police women. Oh, yeah. It happened a long time ago with one Christian that was going to Calvary Chapel, West Covina. He was coming to West Covina and he was on Hollywood and he stopped his car to talk to this woman on the sidewalk that looked like a prostitute. And guess what? It was a police woman got arrested. A police woman. But think how dumb it is for someone that looks at a whorish woman and she has AIDS and you don't even know it. Or herpes. Or syphilis. With today's diseases, man, I tell you what. You need to stay pure to God, single people. Young people, stay single to God. God has your wife and your husband. Don't put yourself in a predicament or in a place where you're going to sin against God. That's why it's important that you understand that God already has a wife for you. I mean, to have a girlfriend is cool, but it's dangerous. Especially if you have no self-control, and you're not sold out to the Lord, you're going to fall. I always tell them, you know, always be in public with somebody. Don't be alone with a woman or a woman with a man, because you're going to tempt yourself. And here the proverb is giving us wisdom concerning this woman that seduces these kind of men and old men, young and old men. Look what it says. He says, verse 24 again, to keep you from the evil woman with her flattering tongue of seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you, notice, with her eyelids. Here's the eyelids again. She's very colorful, but she knows how to move her eyelids to get you to go with her. Yeah, we've seen them before. I've seen them before. For sure. And then look what he says. Verse 26. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. Wow. And an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. That is, she's not satisfied until she controls that man completely. Literally in the Hebrew. She's not happy until I get you and now you're mine. And I'm not going to let you go. Because of the lust. She's looking because she already hates men. And so now in her anger, she wants to take this person down. You want to come into me? Come with me. But I'm going to take you down. And think of how many people have been caught. I mean, judges, lawyers, doctors, teachers, fathers that have been caught in prostitution. Putting your whole career in line for a piece of bread. People do it all the time. And here Solomon is warning. He says, be careful what you do. Watch what he says. Verse 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not get burned? Notice that. Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not get burned? Of course not. You're going to get blisters. You're going to mess up your feet. Verse 29. So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife, notice adultery now, whoever touches her shall not be innocent. And how many times, you know, you have husbands that make friends with their neighbor's wives and the husband's out of town and there's a relationship going on. That happens all the time too. And check this out. People, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. It says, yet, when he is found, he must restore sevenfold. He may have to give all substance to his house. I mean, how many guys have been caught and the woman knows what she's doing and she puts a lawsuit against him? And he loses everything, including his wife, his children, his home, all his finances. Because she had a plan. And then verse 32. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Notice that. Spiritually, morally, and physically, you destroy yourself. Fully, completely. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. Notice that. No one is innocent, but the passion takes over your life. And then verse 34, for jealousy is the husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. That would be me. I'm just telling you. That's the way it is. I'm being honest. That's what it says here. I'm just telling you how I will tell you. And then what does he say? I love this proverb. Verse 35 especially. He will not accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give him many gifts. I don't care how much you pay me, you will die. Fully, completely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your mercies. And Lord, we do pray that you protect us, that you would watch over us, Lord God. Lord, we want to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. And Lord, I do pray for these beautiful young people, Lord God. And for their mothers and their fathers, Lord God. And Lord, if there be any such thing in the church today where there's a mother or father that is in a relationship, that it would be broken tonight, Lord God. Before it's too late. Before it gets too far, Lord God. And Father, for these young people, if there are any of them that already are messing around, Father, sexually, that they would stop before it's too late, before they get hurt, Lord God, or before they hurt somebody else. Or, Father, before they have a baby and they kill the baby. Lord God, we pray that the warnings are given to us through the word of God, Father, so that we can be wise. And Lord, too much is given, much more is required. We have heard, we have listened, and now, Father, we are responsible to the teaching of your word. So, Father, I pray for your church. I pray, God, that you protect us, God. Watch over us, Lord God, as we move to Proverbs, Lord. Speak to our hearts in a mighty, powerful way, Lord God. We give you all the glory, all the honor, Lord God, for what you've done. Father, in my life, Father, before Christ, Lord God, all the things that I did to hurt my wife, Father. And Lord, I've been there. I've been with the prostitutes, Lord God. I've been with the whorish women, Lord God. And Lord, I know what they can do to you, Lord. And Lord, I pray and I ask you for anybody here, Lord God, that may be caught in a trap, that you would release them, Lord. Father, help them. Lord, as you've helped me and others, Lord God. And Lord, we do pray tonight, Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, Jesus, we always want to give an invitation. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Christ, you're sick and tired of your life, you're on your way to hell, you don't want to go to hell, very easy. All you have to do is repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, and you'll get your name written in the book of life, and the blood of Jesus Christ will wipe away all your sins, and your sins will be thrown as far as to the east or the west, buried in the deepest part of the ocean, never again to be remembered again. God will help you and God will save you. As we worship, if there's anybody here, young or old, that wants to receive Christ, I don't care what you've done. Homosexuality, lesbianism, pornography, whatever it is, I don't really care. God wants you to bring it to the cross of Jesus Christ and he'll blow you away. Get up and come now as we worship, and I'm going to pray for you when you come. You know, we're all family. That's the whole thing. You know, you don't have to be embarrassed. All you got to do is by faith get up and God will forgive you. If you're really honest and sincere, you want your sins totally to be forgiven, he'll do that. Just like all these that have come forward. Anybody else before I pray that would like to receive Christ tonight? He gives you the gift of eternal life. If you were to die today, you would go to heaven. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time you've given to us, Father. And Father, for all these people that have come forward, I pray for them, Lord God. And those of you that have come forward, I want you to pray with me this prayer. And those watching through the internet, if you want to accept Christ, you can pray this prayer too. Pray with me this prayer out loud. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my Lord, as my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray this prayer. Amen. We're going to give you guys a Bible, some literature. See that guy right over there, you guys? Go right over there. Follow him. Awesome.